Okay, I guess we're ready to get going in our class tonight. So, I don't remember. I don't know. I guess the best thing to do is ask who was not here Sunday morning for our class to go over the beginning of the periods of history and so on that we were talking about. So, a few of you were not, but the rest of you, all right. So, I'll expect great things out of most of you tonight. All right. What we're doing this quarter is we are taking the time to create a kind of a directory, an organization of the Bible in our minds, so that as we learn things, we'll have a place to put it. And having a place to put it in your mind gives you the ability to remember and also to analyze and also to recall what you need from what you study in the Bible. So often when we study something in the Bible, we study it as a random fact, and then we can't recall it because we have nothing to hook it to. If it's hooked to something, if it becomes a part of a network, then we can recall it. And so that's a lot of the problem. Through the years, there's been no network at all. There's been no background, you know? You just learn something, and then you just, it's left. It's just forgotten. It's isolated. So we're trying really hard to help you to have that network so that you can remember something. One of the things that you may have noted before and wondered about it, if you didn't, maybe you can wonder about it now. But isn't it funny that if you are given some little set of facts about which you have never learned anything, you don't know anything about those facts, it takes you, it's pretty hard to get those facts fixed in mind. Whereas, on the other hand, if you're given, say a letter, and it contains some facts, all of which you're not going to need, you know most of them. But it's on a subject you know very well. Isn't it funny that you can take that letter or that sheet of information and you can kind of scan over it pretty quickly and you can say, oh yeah, well yeah, mm-hmm, and incorporate that two or three things maybe you didn't know. You can incorporate that pretty quickly. That's because you already have a network of information in your mind on that. And you can learn a little additional to stick in a whole lot better than you can learn a whole bunch of stuff from scratch. So, you know, you would think, well, if I don't know anything at all about that, then I've got an empty slate. So I could really learn that. Do you see? It kind of makes sense you could do that, but it doesn't work that way. The more you know about a thing, the easier it is to learn an additional fact about it. Do you see that? So that's what we're trying to do here. And the Bible, as I told you Sunday, the Bible is mostly narrative. But strung out on that narrative, like a fence, there are four areas of non-narrative material. And that's the law, and the wisdom literature of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And it's the prophets, and it's the epistles. But if you put your fence up there, that's the narrative. Then you hang on the fence everything, including the non-narrative portions. And you have your context, everything. It's always there, always with you. And when you're studying this material, and you know, whether it's yourself, whether it's your children, whether it's people in a study you're having at home or something like that, they're always being impressed that somebody put all of this together. Somebody planned this and put it all together. And yet, who could have done that? There is no human being that could have done that. And so it creates the evidence. It not creates, but it makes us aware in a powerful way of the evidence that the Bible presents that it is an inspired book. And, you know, because you continue to think this is the product of the divine mind here. And it makes you respect the Bible more and more. All right, so the first thing we're doing is we're just analyzing the Bible into periods and categories, mainly periods. The first one is what? It's before the flood. And that's the one that's before the flood. So then the next one that comes along is the flood. And then following the flood, the scattering of the people. Now here you have Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who were the sons of Noah. They scatter. And not all of them scatter. The people of Shem tend to stay in the area there of Mesopotamia, and they settle in that area and have cities up and down the Euphrates. And so that brings us to the next period, the patriarchs. So you don't have to say three, but that's just my little effort to help you remember. Three patriarchs. And the patriarchs here are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? And we remember that there are other patriarchs, but these are the three that occupy such an important part in the Bible story. Now these, you know, you've got to understand about the patriarchs. They were not just nice guys. Now it'd be nice to read a biography of them. No, the fact is, throughout the Bible, these three men are held up before us, not only as examples, some good, some bad. In other words, not everything that Abraham did should you do. Not everything Isaac did should you do. And certainly not everything Jacob did you should do. But there were good things those men did do. And one of the things they all did was, through thick and thin, they trusted in God, and especially they trusted in Him to do what He promised to do for them. So these are the patriarchs. Now, what is the linking story at the close of these three men's lives? What's the linking story? Joseph. Because Joseph explains how these people living up in the land of Canaan could wind up being down in Egypt at the beginning of the book of Exodus. And so they came down during the days of Joseph. Joseph was sold into Egypt, and then the whole family wound up moving down there. So that brings us then to the fifth period, which is the Exodus. And as we pointed out with these signs, the exit, that it has to do with the same idea, the going out, the place you go out, the going forth. So the children of Israel, in bondage, they're led by Moses. They cross the Red Sea, and they head toward Canaan. They go by Mount Sinai, and they deal with God there. They keep on going toward Canaan. They're on the way to the Promised Land. Everything is on track. So we're still exiting. But then they get to Kadesh Barnea, the spies go up, and they're scared to death of the giants and the cities, and they come back, and what do they tell the people? Can't do it. That's right. Can't do it because of the giants and everything. And so when the people lose heart and they're ready to go back, see, that's brought the Exodus to a halt now. And they've done something very displeasing in the sight of God. And that's not the first thing they've done displeasing. I mean, they've had a string of things like that. But now this is when they stop that movement toward the land of Canaan, and so now they're going to have to be punished. So what do they do for a number of years, 40 years? They wander in the wilderness. That's right, they wander in the wilderness. So they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, that's the sixth period. Am I right? All right, that's the sixth period. So as they wander in the wilderness, what brought an end to the wandering? See there? See there? It's not you just have to remember it. You can also figure it out. See that? So they conquered the land. They invaded, they conquered the land, and they divided the land up. Well, when you say they invaded and conquered, then remember, let conquer remind you, they didn't conquer everything. They didn't conquer everybody. So the ones they left behind and did not conquer, what were they religiously? They were idolaters. And you see, as you remember that, and then you read and study as the years go by, you're going to add to this. And one of the things you're going to see is that God, during the time Moses led them, God was telling the people that you need to get rid of all the idolaters in the land. And there were at least two reasons for this. Number one was that God had put up with their idolatry. Even in the days of Abraham, he did not destroy those idolaters. He said, their iniquity is not yet full. Well, now their iniquity was full, and it was time for the judgment of God to be brought against those people. That was one. Two is, God said, if you don't destroy them, what will they do? They'll be a stumbling block to you, and you will be following their idolatry and everything. See, so it's interesting that there's that emphasis. They don't do it, and what happens? Exactly what they were warned about. So the judgment of God was not carried out as it should have been. And secondly, the stumbling block was there. So that leads to this period, a recurring cycle of apostasy, and then affliction, and then repentance, and then deliverance. And so what do we call that period? Judges. Okay, now that's where we got to. That's where we got to. Donald, can I press you into service? It's easy. I want you to please go over there and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just write those as you know, briefly as you can. If you have to abbreviate some, I'd appreciate your doing that. All right. So while Donald is putting those eight up there for us, the eight we've already looked at, let's take that period of the judges. Now, it's okay to look at him writing those, but you're not going to be able to concentrate if you do that. Because you remember when you were little and the teacher or mama said, put that down? Do you know that when you've got something, you're fiddling around with it, your hands, your brain is disconnected? All right. So in the judges, now of course all of us remember Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. Well, it doesn't matter if you don't know all of those. What does matter is that the last of the judges was named Samuel. Remember the boy that started out, the little boy, the last judge? That's Samuel. Now then, the last judge means that we're going to have a new period coming up here. Well, do you remember that in the days of Samuel, when Samuel got to be an old man, the people came to Samuel, and what did they ask him for? That's right, you got it. They asked for a king. So when they asked for a king, Samuel at first felt like he had been personally injured. All right, thanks. I appreciate that, Donald. I really do. Don't know what I would do without you. And I don't want to try. Thank you. All right, so at first he felt personally wounded by the request. But then God told him to go ahead and give them the king. So this begins the next period. Can you guess what it is? The United Kingdom. The United Kingdom is the time when the whole nation of Israel was one. It was united. Well, when you have a nation or a kingdom that just kind of starts out, you would expect it to be united. If you have a name, United, that kind of creates the expectation in your mind that sometime in the history of this kingdom, what probably happened to it? it divided. Because otherwise, you just say the kingdom. But the United Kingdom. Now, I'll do it from here, but the writing won't be as nice. Okay? All right, the writing won't be as nice. But let me go ahead now, and I want to put this up as we go. All right, so we have now the United Kingdom. And like I say, this is the time when the kings ruled over the entire land. And there were three of them that so ruled. That's Saul, David, and Solomon. Now see, even if you don't know that, this is not the last time we're going over that. So you will know it. Saul, David, and Solomon. United Kingdom. So here the kingdom is. It's all one kingdom. But then it did divide. So in the north, here you have Israel. And in the south, you have Judah. Now we can keep up with that, can't we? Two kingdoms. And especially remember that the southern one was Judah. All right, so here we have now the United Kingdom. See, let the United Kingdom remind you of the divided kingdom. I find out that when people get to the judges, if they can remember the United Kingdom, it's just like there's a whole string of them that just roll out like a carpet or something like that. So you have the United Kingdom and then the what kind of kingdom? Now, the divided kingdom. Now, take away that northern kingdom. Take it away. What do you have left? Judah alone. Now, see, that's the third one in this sequence here. That's very easy to remember. And they all are so closely related. So you have Judah alone. United Kingdom, divided kingdom, Judah alone. Well, the thing that took Israel away, the one in the north, the thing that took Israel away was captivity. So guess what eventually took Judah away? Captivity. They went into captivity also. They just went into captivity 135 years later than Israel. So, we put here, captivity. All right, at that point now, let's think about the judges. The last judge was Samuel. The people asked for a king. So this begins the United Kingdom, which then becomes the divided kingdom, which then becomes Judah alone. So you see, you got the United Kingdom, the divided kingdom, and Judah alone. Now kids will do well with just little hand gestures like that. Don't ever forget the importance of just the simple like that. That helps them. And like Edith and I were doing a while ago, the wandering in the wilderness. Just that. Kids seeing that, they'll know you're the wandering in the wilderness. See, you can see they're wandering in the wilderness. So, the United Kingdom, the divided kingdom, Judah alone, and then Judah goes into captivity. Because during this time, you have a decline from the days of Solomon. At the end of Solomon's reign, you have a strong spiritual decline going on. You can't see that it's a decline yet. But after that divided kingdom comes along, then you're in a decline there. So Judah eventually, just like Israel, Judah eventually goes into captivity. Well, now then, again, if they went into captivity, you could say, well, are they still there? Well, like the wandering in the wilderness, they didn't stay there forever. So what happened? Well, they got where they were going. They invaded the land. Well, they didn't stay in captivity. Eventually, they came back. Now, doesn't that make sense? Eventually, they did come back. And so when they came back, we call that the return. So see, when you think about captivity, okay, yeah, they bring captivity. But what did they do? They came back. So there's the return. And after the return, we come to a time when, following Malachi, the people didn't utilize the opportunity that God gave them when they returned. And therefore God said, I have said all I'm going to say now. And with Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, God concluded the revelation that pertained to the Old Testament particularly. Now there was going to be a period of silence until the coming of Christ. And the last great outpouring of revelation of God would have to do with that. So during these years, we call them the years of silence. The years of silence. Now some people refer to this as intertestamental years or intertestamental period. I don't like intertestamental, do you? Yeah.
Isn't that also called the year of 400 years?
Yeah, that's right. This is the 400 years. That's right. Very good. 400 years of silence. It's also called between the covenants and things like that, other terms like that. But that's really misleading because it was not between the covenants. We simply had no revelation being given during that time, but the law of Moses continued in force until the time when the law of Christ was put into motion, probated, on the day of Pentecost, when the will was made known. So after those years of silence, now here it should be pretty easy what broke the years of silence. The life of Christ. Okay, so the events now that have to do with the life of Christ. And Christ establishes the early church. And then we have letters to the Christians. Now some of those letters were to congregations. Some were to individuals. All right. Now then, let's say them all. And this is really going to be a luxury for you. I want you to read them. Okay, let's say them together. Before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarchs, exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, judges, united kingdom, divided kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, return, years of silence, life of Christ, early church, letters to the Christians. All right, Andy, which one of those do you think we know well enough that I could erase it? All right. Now, Andy, when we say them, I want to hear you now. Yeah. All right. Let's say them together now, and don't do it too fast. Okay. All right. Jim, which one do you think we know well enough I could erase it? All right. Boy, this is going to be a methodical group here. All right. Let's do it again.
Thank you.
Okay. Carol, which one do you think we know well enough to erase? All right. All right. All right, here we go. Now notice, I'm erasing letters to the Christians. All right. Let's go now. Edith, which one do you think? The early church. All right, here we go. All right. Richard, can you see it well enough to tell me one? Three. All right, we're going to take this one off right here. All right, we're taking that one off. Taking the scattering of the people off. Okay, here we go. Pretty good, aren't we? Donald, which one you want to take off?
Number 14.
We're taking off the years of silence. All right. We're taking off the years of silence. Okay, let's do them again. Judd, which one?
Let's go with patriarchs.
All right. All right, we're getting the patriarchs off here now. All right, here we go. Before the flood. Paul?
Judges.
All right, here we go. Taking the judges off here. All right, now let's don't bobble. All right, here we go. Before the flood. Steve Milton.
I think we could do two.
Wow. Wow.
Steve, do you remember the one about the years of silence?
All right, here we go. We take the Exodus off and we take the wandering in the wilderness off. All right, let's try it again now. What about if I don't ask Steve again? All right. Bill, did you want to suggest one? I'm just brokenhearted. Which one? All right, here we go. All right, so here we go. Divided kingdom is history. I mean, let's go ahead. All right, here we go now. Getting there. Jim Cooper. All right, so here we go. Life of Christ. All right, here we go. Before the flood, Captivity. All right, here we go. Ice is getting thinner. Do you get that feeling? Mike, did I ask you to do one? All right. Oh, man. Here we go. All right. All right. Here we go now. Before the flood. United Kingdom. Here we go. All right. Before the flood. Judah is alone. All right, here we go. Before the flood. Now, which one shall we erase? Okay, now look at this. Okay. All right. All right, let's do it now. Let's do it now. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarchs, Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, the Judges, United Kingdom, Divided Kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, return, years of silence, life of Christ, early church, letters to the Christians. Now, let's do it this way. What happened before the letters to the Christians? It had to be an early church. And before the early church, there was life of Christ. Now, before Christ came, there was the years of silence. And before the years of silence, we have the return. And see, that's the return from what? So, captivity. Captivity. And then we got... So, before the captivity, what was it?
Judah
alone. And before Judah alone, we've got divided kingdom. And before the divided kingdom, we have the United Kingdom. And before the United Kingdom, we have the Judges. And before the Judges, we have the invasion and conquest. And before the invasion, there was the wandering in the wilderness. And before the wandering in the wilderness, there was the Exodus. And before the Exodus, there were the patriarchs. All right, now we have to be careful here. Patriarchs. Now, before the patriarchs, there was the scattering of the people. And before the scattering of the people, there was... And before the flood... Before the flood. Now, see, Steve, we did do it backwards. And the fact is that when you learn it like this, it's almost as easy to say it backwards as it is forward because the way it's hooked together. And again, now, even here, we've used some very effective, powerful means of helping us remember. If we never did it again, we'd soon forget it. But by using this as the track and the foundation that we're going to just build everything on, we won't be forgetting this. We'll be incorporating it, and everything we learn will be built on this. So that it's like, you know, how foolish it would be for us to go out there somewhere and build a real big, nice foundation and then come over here and try to build a house. No, we're going to build on the foundation so that the foundation will always be there. And will always be a part of it. Now, teachers, let me tell you something. This method that I've just used here is very effective, even with children. Even with children who cannot write, with children who cannot read, this is a very effective thing. However, you must remember to put the numbers. Put your numbers so there will be a place. Now, if you do it without that, it won't work because they're going to go by position. They'll go by position. And they will get the sequence fixed in mind first by position. So put your numbers and, or your letters, and then write your thing out, and then let them pick out which one. Because see, every time you read over it, it's a review. So every time you miss one, you go back and you read the whole thing, that's a review. You erase the next one, go back over it. So you think how many times we went over it, and yet it was fun. It was enjoyable. So that's a technique for you to remember, and we're going to use that a lot, because there are many things that you need to know, and a list is the easiest way to do it. Like the thing about a list... See, some people can make fun of a list, but if you're telling the creation, for example, and you say, on the first day God created light, he said, let there be light. I don't remember what else it was. I'll have to go back there and look. Your story is just going to be dead. It's just going to be dead. If you're going to be telling about the judges, and you say, the first of the judges was Othniel. We're going to study about Othniel and get through with Othniel. And then you say, and then there was another guy. Say, then there was another guy. That's going to go nowhere. How are you going to know who the next guy is? And so many things are like that. So we want to know these things. And so we will have this technique to make a list and everything as or to learn list as time goes by. All right, so here we have the 17 periods and categories of the Bible. Tell you what, let's do this. I'm going to name one, and you tell me the one before it and the one after it. Just anybody that thinks of it. Okay? Let's say the United Kingdom. All right, that's good. The life of Christ. Very good. The scattering of the people. All right, some of you are pretty fast draw on that. That's good. Judah alone. Very good, very good. Letters to the Christians. That's right. You did right. You did right. That's good. All right. What about the flood? Mm-hmm. Wandering in the wilderness. I'm pretty impressed. That's good. I like to be impressed. All right, the next thing that we're going to do, the next part of this that we're going to do, is we will be going to the second cycle in this, which will be utilizing what we have now learned. But we're going to be going over the events, just a real quick going over events so that you will know what is in each one of these. Now, Sunday, Lord willing, what I'm planning to do is utilize that opportunity Sunday morning, as Donald and I have talked about, to have that summary of the whole Bible story so that we will have it on a CD. And if you want to get one, you can get it and then listen to it. And, you know, it'll cover the entire Bible story. So that's what we want to at least plan on doing Sunday. But then we will be getting into the second cycle of this, and we'll also be giving you the books pretty soon for you to be using for your own study and review and everything like that. All right, so I think you did really well tonight. I'm proud of you.